This past week, I visited with my great aunt, Thera Jackson, along with some other family members. We call her Aunt Sis. I often wondered how that name was derived at by our family, but I suspect, and some of you may have a knowing about this, that there was probably a brother, perhaps her little brother Robert, who was my grandfather, my daddy's daddy. I suspect it was Robert or Lee Earl or one of those who called her not Thera, but Sis. And somehow that transitioned from not only being Sis, but to Aunt Sis, and now generations later, it's continued. But Sis, or Thera, celebrated her 99th birthday the other day. I teased her as we were having a meal there, and it was a large assembly of about 50 people, and I said, "Boy, this sure is a big blowout for 80 years. She said, "I just can't even imagine what 80 even feels like anymore. Oh, to be 80, she said. 99 years of living and giving joy and life and wisdom. Those are some of the things that I said as we had our meal celebrating her life. Before we ate, we prayed. And somebody found out that I was coming. Would you believe they had fried chicken there too? They took care of the preacher. And in that prayer, as we reflected and gave thanks for her gift into our life and the gift of God's grace that blesses us all along our journey, just as we ended the blessing, she said to me as I was echoing that prayer, there was an accompaniment behind me of something called cicadas. Have you heard of those? Not only have you heard of them, you've heard them recently, correct? And just as I ended the prayer, my Aunt Sis said, "And you even had singing to accompany your prayer." You know, Sis got it right. So often in the life, whether it's cicadas or other life's challenges, we have a choice of what do we hear. Do we hear the noise of the cicadas as simply that? As noise. As a distraction. As something we would rather just go away or ignore? Or do we hear something different? Perhaps something deeper. Do we hear the song that they're singing? You see, when you do your research, the science is there. The science tells us that the cicadas, believe it or not, are not simply trying to annoy us with the noise they're making. It's the males that are singing a song. And sometimes they, like us humans, sing off key. Did y'all hear the choir say amen when they looked at me? I'm the one that sings off key in this group, but I sing loud and proud, right? But it's the cicadas that aren't simply making sound. They're making music. See, that's the choice we have as recipients of their serenade. And maybe even more deeply, recipients of whatever life gives us. But we journey through this life, this world, as people of faith, as school teachers, as employees in businesses, as retired people leading civic organizations. We journey in relationship with people. And we find along that journey challenges, noise at times, obstacles. And we have to make a decision in the midst of the noise. Can we also listen for the music? Or in the words of Paul that would say it this way, can we in the spirit of faith find the good even in the bad?
Can we really embrace that teaching of Jesus where he said God works for good in some things? No, in everything. Can we look for and listen for the music even in the noise of life? In our scripture, this text that's quite familiar to some of us as we even sang about it this morning. Here I am, Lord, send me. This call of the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah envisions God sitting on a throne. And can you imagine the majesty and the mighty and the power and the glory that he sees? He says to us that God is so large that the hem, not his entire robe, the hem, the tiny portion of his robe, is so large that it fills the entire temple. Wow. The glory and majesty of the one who made us. And he said that in attendance around God were these seraphs. Have you ever thought about those winged creatures? It tells us in the reading that they had six wings, right? And with two of those wings, they covered their faces. Why do you suppose they covered their faces? Most biblical scholars tell us that they covered their faces because that was their way of honoring the glory of God. That God was so powerful and so glorious and so splendored filled that they couldn't even look upon his glory. So they covered their faces. And with the other two wings, what does it tell us? It tells us here, as recorded in the modern day translation, that they covered their feet with two of the wings. Or in other words, a more accurate interpretation is that they covered their nakedness or their body. In other words, they were shameful for who they were. They cover their faces because of the awesome greatness of God, and they cover themselves because of their brokenness. Doesn't that sound like our journey at times? As we come into the holy house, we're conscious of the Almighty, of the grace and goodness and forgiveness of our holy God, and we bow in worship in the spirit of the seraphs, covering our faces, unwilling to even look to the throne of grace. And we want to hide in every way we can our sinfulness, our brokenness, perhaps at times in shame. Haven't we all felt that way at times? But still, as people of faith, we come. We come to this holy place to look in the spirit of Isaiah once more upon the glory of the Lord. And why do we come, church? We come because we've tried the life without God, and we've tried the life with God. And we found our journey more complete in him. See, the seraphs, they give us a great sign of discipleship this morning. A great sign of what it means to be followers of God, worshipers of the one above. We hear that they cover their faces and they covered their feet with those four wings combined. But what do they do with their other two wings? Oh, they fly. They fly. They go forth. They soar. They proclaim the glory of the one who made them and saved them. And you know, I can only imagine if I were a seraph and I had six wings. Think about it with me, church. If I had six wings, I could do some flying, couldn't you? You could go fast, you could go efficient, you could go up and down, sideways, probably in every direction. With six wings, you could get it done, right? Those sheriffs had a choice to make, didn't they? Well, I don't have six wings anymore. I can't do as good a job as I could if I used all six wings. You know what? I think I'm just not going to do anything. I'm ill-equipped. Have we ever felt that way? I can't do it perfect. I'm not going to do it at all. Those are the lies of the world that tempt us at times. But the seraphs live beyond their limits and used those two wings that they had to give glory to the one who made them and made them more. Wow. That's an inspiration for us, church. To use the wings that we have, to use what God has given us as His people. Understanding that we are not perfect, that we are a broken people, but we are a forgiven people. That we, like Isaiah, have had that seraph come to us through the grace of God and touch us with that coal, and His forgiveness has set us free. Free to not merely exist, but to live and to fly like a seraph. And yes, I would say even sing like a cicada. The choice for us. When we see the challenges of life in family, in school as young people, the temptations, the challenges. Do we have the courage to rely not on our strength, but to rely on the strength and grace of God to be strength for us and help us to soar? You know, those cicadas, most of us are well educated on them now. They spend some broods, I believe it's 13 years underground, correct? And other broods, 17 years underground. You know, if I was a cicada too, we're doing a lot of simonizing this morning, aren't we? We're seraphs at one minute, we're cicadas the next. If I was a cicada, and I'd lived most of my life underground, and I only had, what, one more month or so of life to go? It would be tempting to give up when faced with those challenges, right? With those huge obstacles. I know that it's about to end. Why keep going? Why should I keep plugging? Why should I keep like that turtle trying to cross the road, as our young disciples talked about this morning? Why should I keep going if it's all going to end? Because the cicadas knew. And they know that something better is coming above the surface. Something better and worthy of singing and proclaiming is coming. And at the very end is when they realize and experience their best life. For they fly in their glory as well. It's a gift of God's creation and His grace in their existence. Friend, I don't know about you today, but as often we find ourselves down and out, broken and sometimes almost defeated by the worries, the challenges, the obstacles in our world, I, in the spirit of the seraph and in the courage of the cicada, I choose, even in when life is darkest, to look for the light,
Even when the screams of the world say you can't, I want to choose to sing. And even when I find myself in the far reaches of the earth, through the Spirit and strength of God, I know that I can soar like the eagles once more. So may we go forth this day with the courage of the prophet Isaiah to ask the question of the Almighty, where can I go? Where will you send me to live and love the world in your grace? Amen.